to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, January 7th, 2018, by the Reverend Sharon Volker.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Such a deal I have for you this morning. Yesterday was Epiphany. And in our scripture readings and our hymns that we're singing, we are commemorating Epiphany. Today is commemorated as the baptism of Jesus. So consequently, our sermon is going to be about the baptism of Jesus. Beginning in Advent, we began hearing about John the Baptist in our gospel readings. So before we come immersed, before we become immersed in the teachings of Jesus, let's pay a little closer attention to John the Baptist. What was this man all about? We can assume that John and Jesus were cousins of some degree, since there was a familiar relationship between their mothers. We know that John was born first. We know that John was a bit different in his lifestyle. We know that John was a charismatic person. Frederick Buechner is a well-respected American theologian who has written an interesting story about John the Baptist, and I'd like to share some of it with you. Buechner writes in a way that's very simple and very clear, as he says, "John the Baptist didn't fool around. He lived in the wilderness around the Dead Sea. He subsisted on a starvation diet, and so did his disciples. He wore clothes that even the rummage sale people wouldn't have handled. When he preached, it was fire and brimstone every time. The kingdom was coming all right, he said, but if you thought it was going to be a pink tea, you'd better think again. If you didn't shape up, God would give you the axe like an elm with the blight, or toss you into the incinerator like the good, like he would toss you into the incinerator like what's left over when you've lambasted the good out of the wheat." He said that being a Jew wouldn't get you any more points than being a Hottentot. And one of his favorite ways of addressing his congregation was as a snake pit. "Your only hope," he said, "was to clean up your life as if your life depended upon it, which it did, and to get baptized in a hurry as a sign that you had." Some people thought he was Elijah come back from the grave, and others thought he was the Messiah. But John would have none of the either. "I'm the one yelling himself blue in the face in the wilderness," he said, quoting Isaiah. "I'm the one trying to knock some sense into your heads." So when Jesus comes to John and asks to be baptized, John hesitates and tells him that Jesus should be baptizing him. In Matthew's and Mark's Gospels, John tells the Pharisees and the Sadducees that one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. There were differences in the ministries of John and Jesus. Buechner goes on to say, where John preached grim justice and pictured God as a steely-eyed thresher of grain. Jesus preached forgiving love and pictured God as a host at a marvelous party, or a father who can't bring himself to throw out his children even when they spit in his eye. Where John said people had better save their skins before it was too late, Jesus said it was God who saved their skins. And even if you blew your whole bankroll on liquor and wild living like the prodigal son, it still wasn't too late. Where John ate locusts and honey in the wilderness with the church crowd, Jesus ate what he felt like in Jerusalem with as sleazy a bunch as you could expect to find. Two different men, two distinct ministries. Yet John knew that Jesus was special. Out in the desert, John had been preaching for years about the coming of the Messiah and the need to be ready. John was a messenger. Yes, the Messiah was coming. And when John baptized Jesus and witnessed the presence of the Holy Spirit and the voice of God announcing that Jesus was the Son of God, he wholeheartedly proclaimed the great power of Jesus. John possessed a trait that we don't see too often today: humility. John deferred to Jesus, acknowledging Jesus' relationship with God. Great prophet that he is, John knows that he can't hold a candle to Jesus, so to speak. There is no one-upmanship between them. John takes an inferior position to Jesus without competition. But what has happened to humility? Where has it gone? When did it go? What did we do to it? Perhaps overcompetition has killed humanity, humility, a little humanity too. Our society places tremendous importance on being the best, of having the most. There's tremendous pressure to get the best grades in order to get into the best colleges, to beat out the competition for the top job. And competition for recognition can be merciless. Competition within families can be destructive. Competition has changed some of us into being all for ourselves, for being eager to let everyone know how great we are. Sometimes the stress of competition changes us, makes us forget that there is a power greater than us. And it makes us foolishly think that all we have accomplished or acquired has been only through our own efforts, without the help of anything or anyone else. Surmounting all obstacles, is it really worth it to be number one? Well, it depends. Achieving the top spot through hard work and determination and with the support of others is commendable. However, to use the influence and power of other people for our own personal gain, and then to be proud to accept the recognition of that achievement as our own work, is hardly commendable. Competition can be nasty when the lure of the brass ring is too compelling. Having humility enables us to have a true appreciation of the good things in life, and knowing that there is a driving force in our lives other than ourselves is a good reality check for us. Being humble gives us the freedom to be ourselves, for us to be grateful children that God desires. Humility is a quality in people that is alive today. But it's a quiet quality. We don't boast about it. We rarely talk about it. We see it in others, not in ourselves. We see it in the people who work behind the scenes to help make someone else or something else successful. We see it in our volunteers who give graciously and tirelessly of their time and efforts. We see it in all those people who give of themselves for the benefit of God's kingdom. And it's when we are in our most humble states that we have our best conversations with God. Let us be like John the Baptist, perhaps not in his clothing or food styles, but in his way of putting himself second and of recognizing and giving the honor and glory that is due to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.